Just want to give a shout out to my mom. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. There's some people who are out of town and stuff. They're spending their Mother's Day playing sports and stuff, and that's cool. We've done it too, I think. I've got a few jokes to share with you. I got one-liners. I like one-liners because they're just so quick. Sometimes you tell a joke and it's just like, okay, get to the punchline. So I just got some one-liners about motherhood. Jokes about motherhood. Motherhood, because going to the bathroom in private is overrated. Anybody have that? All their kids, mom, do you not know your dad's name? The two amounts of pasta I'm best at cooking at. Number one, not enough. Number two, enough for 3,000 people. Motherhood is spicy. It's universal mom code for I don't want to share. I love my kids, but not enough to flip the fish sticks halfway through cooking, but I love them. Mom's recipe for iced coffee. Number one, have kids. Number two, make coffee. Number three, forget you made coffee. Number four, drink it cold. Mom, what's it like to have the greatest daughter in the world? I don't know. Ask your grandma. Let's get married and have kids, so instead of enjoying coffee in the morning, you can braid hair while I pack lunches and we can all be late. They say women speak 20,000 words a day. I have a daughter who gets that done by breakfast. Titi doesn't do that. A toddler can do more in one unsupervised minute than most people can do in a day. Important truth no one tells a first time mom. Both of you come home from the hospital in diapers. I wouldn't know. Please excuse the mess. My kids are making memories of me yelling at them and to clean up their mess. Anybody have teenagers with just a bunch of water bottles all over? I don't get the deal with that. Okay, other moms. Are you okay? Let's clean that up. I'll take care of you. My mom, maybe if you would have listened when I told you not to do that, you would be perfectly fine right now. A police recruit was asked during the exam, what would you do if you had to arrest your own mother? He said, call for backup. Silence is golden unless you have kids. Then the silence is suspicious. One minute you are young and cool, maybe even a little dangerous, and the next you are reading Amazon reviews for birdseed. Gets you every time. The kid, mom, stop, you aren't funny. Mom, I made you. The last one, why was the house so neat on Mother's Day? Because mom spent all day Saturday cleaning it. What a joyous occasion, being a mother. I wouldn't know anything about that. I know what it's like being a dad and a father, but I don't know what it's like being a mother. So you can only imagine an angel coming up to Mary and telling her that she's carrying the Savior of this world. At a young teenager, having the responsibility to do that and carry that throughout his life here on earth. And to watch everything that unfold is remarkable. And she did it with poise and with grace. Doesn't mean that she was perfect. Because like, you know, some mothers and even some dads, you know, there's a time when Jesus' first miracle, they don't have any more wine. Woman, why are you troubling me? It's not my time. And this is where he performs his first miracle by turning water into wine. But if it wasn't for that nudging, why? Because she knew all the things that he was supposed to do. She kept that in her heart. So when it comes to the motherhood, things that the Lord may have spoken to you about your children, you never forget. And so just slowly but sure, you begin to nudge your children in the right direction because it's what's on their life. Here's the thing. You don't have to make excuses. You don't have to beat yourself up over it. I said, you're nudging them in the direction the Lord wants you to. And for her to do that and to see everything unfold right before her very eyes, I can't imagine being there to go through that, to seeing your son getting murdered, to lay his life down for this whole entire nation, this world, to carry that burden on his shoulders. There is nothing like motherhood. You also, mothers are created in the image of God too. Women are created in God's image. It wasn't just man. You were right there. Genesis, if you got your Bibles, open up to Genesis 2:18. Excuse me. Wednesday night, had sore throat, felt like razor blades in my throat when I was trying to talk, and went to the clinic, and of course my sister-in-law's there and working hard and stuff, and give me some stuff to kind of numb it, and then give me some medication, and man, it started feeling a whole lot better. Just been coughing a little bit, but I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Genesis 2:18, it says this, New Living Translation. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. And then verse 21 says, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last, the man exclaimed, this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. The woman was not created to be a maid for the husband. Husbands, y'all hear that? She was not created to be a maid for you. She is created to be a helper. I kind of tease my wife a few times here and there. Oh, I helped you with the laundry. She goes right back at me and say, is your laundry too? I helped you with the dishes. You made them dirty too. Every once in a while I try to get her, but she stays on her toes. She's really good with that. See, we're supposed to be helping out as well. And even if you feel you are the strongest man and still lacking areas, your wife can only see that. Mothers can only see that. When I was coaching, it was a whole lot easier for me to sit back and kind of look back at everything after going on the court. It was just easier for me as opposed to just coaching and seeing it, because your other assistants can catch that. They can catch what you miss. I said, your wife can catch the things that you miss. That's something, because she was created to complete her husband. You're incomplete without him. You guys complete each other. Well, I don't need no man. Yeah, you do. I don't need no woman. Yes, you really do. You were not created so that you can compete with your husband. It's not a competition with y'all. You're a team. You work together. A wife is a counterpart. She's equal to him. It's the reason why she was created from the rib. The rib was taken out. It wasn't a backbone. So the woman could walk behind the man. It wasn't from the foot bone, so the man can keep his foot on her neck every single time and show his dominance. It was from the rib. It was a piece of them. So they can walk side by side, hand in hand, standing strong together. Come on. If you're not being treated that way, you better tell your husband to step it up. We're going to deal with them next week. See, when you come into a congregation, you got your witnesses. The preacher, the pastor pronounced you man and wife. Are you walking behind? Or are you walking hand in hand together? Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. and Mrs. And how you uphold her in that day. Gentlemen, you do that for the rest of her life. Not put her over God, but she's there with you. It was the rib, the side of man. You were made to help him with the vision that God has given your husband. So a woman don't have anything to do, fellas, that's your fault, because you haven't given her a vision. Some women love to stay home, mothers. They just want, hey, I just want to take care of my kids. Kristen was like that. She's like, I just want to stay home. But unfortunately, I wasn't making enough money. I'm serious. This is the first time I told her a few weeks ago, this is the first time in my life that I've only been working one job. It's got many functions within it. This is the first time. I've had 2 or 3 jobs. Even when I was going to school, junior college, y'all can Google this later on. I was living in Oxnard, driving to Moore Park. That's about 30 miles, 30 minutes. Going to school every day, playing basketball. Even when I get home from games, I go to work. So I had jobs on top of jobs on top of jobs. One of the things she wanted to do was basically stay home with the kids. And for the most part, she did that. Did a great job. Still does a great job. But in every marriage, it's going to be different. Because you have to do what works best for you. But you could do it within the parameters and the principles of what the Word of God teaches. Some men want their wives to stay home. Some men want their wives to work. I had this thought. Now, I never told her this, but I'm going to say it out now. No, I won't. I won't do that. The principles that line up with Scripture may work in respecting and submitting. But when you begin to treat them a certain way that is very disrespectful and controlling, it shows the lack of respect that you may have for a husband. Well, this is the way my mom and dad did it all these years. Well, sometimes you can't really do what your mom and dad did all those years. Sometimes they did it because they had to do it. And a lot of times we end up carrying things on over from one relationship to the next, from one marriage to the other. We got to have enough sense to be able to lop off some of the things that don't work. You know, there's a story of a wife who was getting ready to make a roast, and she ended up cutting one end off, cutting the other end off, and putting it in her pan and stuff. And husband says, why do you cut both ends off of the roast? She said, I don't know. My mom always did it. This is her recipe, so this is how I've always done it. This is how I always seen her do it. Then he called his mother-in-law up. My wife was making a roast, and she cut both ends of the roast off. Is there any reason why? Well, no, actually, I seen my mom do it. And she always cut off the ends of the roast. That's just how we've always done it. Well, he ended up calling his grandmother-in-law, trying to find out why it is they cut off the ends of the roast. She goes, oh, that's because my pan wasn't big enough. See, the other two already had a big enough pan, but they did it because of that tradition that was just passed down. It just becomes automatic. And we don't realize that the things that we do, even within our marriage, is more traditional than anything else. It's because she had to. You don't have to do it. Second thing is, first thing was the role of a lady. Second thing is respecting your husband. How's this a Mother's Day thing? Well, because it's dealing with you, because you got to understand, no matter what society tells you, you're a whole lot greater than what you seem to be. And there's so much in a woman. The capabilities and the creativeness that you have in you comes from God. And there's people that will beat themselves up over it. Ephesians 5:21 says this, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For the wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. And as the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. So again, each must love his wife as he loves the church, and the wife must respect her husband. If there's one area that I would say that hurts a lot of marriages and families, it's this one right here. It's respect. Now, as long as the husband is not causing his wife to sin, submitting to your husband and everything and what you're called to do, because the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Sometimes submission is hard to do. But you have to do what the Lord is leading you to do. There's a funny story of a man who came in and brought his wife some aspirin. She goes, here you go, some aspirin for you, for your headache. She goes, I don't have no headache. He goes, oh, all right, cool. Comes back 5 minutes later. I got some Midol and a heating pad you got for your cramps. She goes, I don't have any cramps. Goes back, comes back with a box of tampons. Feminine product. He goes, well, this is for you. This is, you know, for your monthly. She goes, I'm not on my monthly. He goes, oh, so you're okay to do something tonight then, huh? That means all the excuses are out the window. He was just checking. Kind of smart, guys. You might want to take that, huh? I've never tried it, because I know she will find a way around that. Sometimes it looks like the man does not want to lead. If he doesn't have a vision for the household, and it gets frustrating when you don't know what to do, how to do it, because God doesn't want you overstepping your boundaries. But the thing about it is that men, you have to give your wife something to do as far as the vision. What is the vision for? If it's just paying off debt, let's get this thing paid off and let's do it together rather than a lone ranger. If it's raising up our kids the right way, let's get together and do it. Let's be a united front. Let's do this together. But whatever it is, do it together. And every single time the enemy's going to want to just fight and work and have y'all get out of agreement. He will do everything he can in order to break that up, that union up. You got to stand strong. It's got to be a safeguard. How many of you men, honestly, if you raise your hand, honestly, how many of you love sharing your feelings and emotions? No one. I'm serious. I said, I grew up with 5 brothers, 7 male in a house. Share our feelings, what? Furniture moving. Furniture moving fights. We wrestled. We fought. We threw punches. That's how we got our feelings and emotions out. But wives, when husbands actually do share some things with you, that's intimate. That's not very easy to do. And when they do it, don't disrespect your husband by sharing that with everyone else. You have to safeguard that. Because now he becomes an open book and he's vulnerable. So when it comes to helping your husband get to the place to where God needs him to go, you could make him or break him. And if you broke, I guarantee you, he won't trust you. It'll be a while before he opens up and shares something else. He said, this stuff is for the birds, man. So those things you got to keep intimate between you. Well, I haven't done that. I said, well, it's a good time to start. This is why I love Seed Time and Harvest. I haven't been perfect in the stuff I've done in our marriage isn't perfect. But you know what? There's Seed Time and Harvest. Respecting your husband and your children is being mindful of the things that they share with you and safeguarding it so that the enemy won't come and junk it all up. Sometimes you can end up telling the wrong people and take that information and they control it with it. They control them with it. There's a statement. If you can control the information, you can control the people. Safeguard that. Third thing is submit. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. What are you submitting to? Is the vision that God has given your husband. That's what you're submitting to. It's getting under, submitting, so submerging yourself unto that mission for what God has given your husband to lead that family. Sometimes men, we're wired different. You could be in the room and we'll be happy. You don't have to say a word to us. We'll just be happy you're in the room. Don't say a word. Just peripheral. We're good. And you're not supposed to be inferior to your man. You're not supposed to fear your man. You're supposed to respect, but you're not inferior. That's a dominant personality there. See, he wasn't just created in his image. You were too. You know, you have those people, just keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything until I tell you, unless I let you. You can righteously oppose that, women. Because that ain't God speaking through them. That's the enemy. Righteously come against it. You're to help with the vision for your family. Not every household will be the same as the vision goes forth. Fourth, some wives just stay at home and help raise the kids. That is a full-time job. It's a full-time job to raise children. It is a chore to have children. I think I watch a little bit too much of TNT. I like watching Charles and Chuck. Charles Barkley and Shaq. And they have some funny comments. And some of those comments I just need to leave because they're just too funny. And I try them on Kristen. And she kind of gives a smirk every now and then. There's this one joke. Charles, how come you don't buy your wife a watch? How come you don't buy your woman a watch? Because it's the clock on the stove. I said, how does he get away with this stuff? That's unreal. There's a clock on a stove. Excuse me. Another one he says, having a baby ain't nothing like playing on a sprained ankle. Wow. It's a total team effort when you're dealing with your marriage. And sometimes when you're just coming against one another, all you're doing is destroying, tearing each other down. And mothers who have gone through that storm have to try to quiet the storm for their children. But they're realizing who's going to quiet the storm. That's going on in my life. You have to protect the children. Some people's names mean protector, but I believe every mother is a protector. Because they'll fight. Don't let mama bear come out. Because they'll fight for their children. Where do you think that comes from? Because God will fight for you. He doesn't like anyone messing with his kids. And so husbands, that's the thing. You're messing with God's daughter when you do that. That's his child. That was created in his image. Matthew 18 says this, I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. See, these aren't just keys to the kingdom. These are keys to your marriage. Whatever you allow, God will allow. Think about that. Whatever you allow in your marriage, God will allow it in heaven. And as long as the enemy can get you to not agree with your wife, you're always going to be on a different page. How are you going to stand in agreement when you're both in disagreement? When you're constantly disagreeing with each other, how are you going to get an agreement? That's why that third voice needs to be the Holy Spirit and not someone else. See, we stand before witnesses when we get married. Those witnesses are to help to keep your marriage intact, not to choose a side. So I don't have a problem telling somebody the truth. You're acting like a fool. You need to grow up. You need to go back and apologize. I don't care if you think you're right. It ain't about being right. It's about doing what's right. Sometimes we just want to win the argument too much. Your marriage is far more important. Choose your battles. It will take everything you have but to stay in agreement with your spouse. Don't let go because things may get tough. Well, Pastor Tim, I've already been divorced. I've already been through that. We've already split up. We've already done this. We've already done that. I said, understand, as long as there's seed, time, and harvest, it ain't over. Whether God has someone planned for you next, I ain't even looking. I'm not even looking. That's okay. I know some people who have stayed faithful in serving for many, many years. You gotta understand, men, here's the thing. Since you gave, God took a rib from you. You became a giver. A woman is a receiver. So when you two come together and you have a child, you give her your seed. 9 months later, there's your child. She takes what you give and creates. You give her a house, she'll give you a home. You give her some groceries, she'll give you a meal. In some houses, it's different. Man, how many of you cook in a house? You're the cook, you're the chef. Chef Chris over here. But whatever you're going to give her, she's going to take it and create it. But if you take from her, that hurts her. That destroys her. You take her confidence from her. She's not going to function well. You take shots at her. It's not going to go over very good. You're a giver. She's a receiver. That's why she needs more money. That's why she needs more love. That's why she needs more attention. That's why she needs more touch. That's why she needs more of this and more of that. And your job is to give it on over. Don't ever forget that. You're trying to take from her. You got the roles reversed. The woman is the receiver. You're a team. Think of it as you being a quarterback. She's the wide receiver. She's open in the end zone. Throw the ball. Nah, call an audible. I'm going to do this myself. If you don't sit your selfish self somewhere, sit down, have a Coke and a smile and be quiet. You're a team. The woman's role is just as important as the man's. Motherhood. Can you be honest with me, Denise? Can I ask you a question? How many times have you had to quiet the storm for your family? Many times. How about you, Shana? Many a times. Charisse, how about you? And I'm going to say, is it a knock to a man? Sometimes the mother will find out first. I wouldn't find out until like a week later or something. How many times have you had to quiet the storm? Peace, be still. That's a man's job. Well, that's both of y'all's job because you're a team. See, I don't want to be the storm maker in my family. I want to be the storm breaker. Sometimes we have this ideology that we want to be the storm maker. I'm just going around causing hell. Well, I'm going to cause hell for hell. But I'm not going to cause hell in my own family's life. Thank God for strong mothers. Because I don't know where we would be without you. Thank God for strong fathers. If you're still in your kids' lives, God bless you. But 9 times out of 10, who does the child go with? The mother. Fathers leave the homes. I don't know too many the sayings of the deadbeat moms. I hear about the deadbeat dads. Thank God for the hell that you had to go through and you remained in it. And God saw you through and helped restore you. That's not easy to do. So man, on this day, let's be the storm breakers. Doesn't mean you're going to do that perfectly. Storm comes. We're going to get together with our wives. And we're going to pray that thing away. We're going to curse that thing away. Whatever thing that's going on in your life, you speak God's word. I don't understand how to do this. It doesn't matter as long as you get your lips moving in line with the word of God. That wasn't supposed to come out. Y'all heard that? My goodness. Got too much gain on that mic. Well, my kids are grown. It doesn't matter. Seed, time, harvest. I got my farming socks on that Sandy gave me. Seed, time, and harvest. God can turn any situation around. Well, you don't know my past. I don't need to know. And God doesn't know it because he's forgiven you of it. Stop beating yourself up. But you don't understand, I used to do this. Key word, used to. But we already separated. Doesn't matter. You know, Adam and Eve, they probably committed the biggest sin known to mankind. I mean, they did. I mean, good night, they got kicked out of the garden. But God still fellowship with them. He still talk with them. He still converse with them. They still had children. They were blessed. Because it was about a relationship. Is there anything too great within your marriage that you can't forgive your husband for? I don't know. He said, I didn't look good in this dress one time. Well, that's because it was polka dot and purple. And people will call you Barney. Don't worry. His grace is more than enough to heal the scars. I'm not talking about heal the wounds. Get rid of the scars. Because there's a place to where he can take you to where you don't even remember what happened. Mothers are so special. My mom worked. There's a time my mom would go to work at, my dad would get up, go to work 4 o'clock in the morning, and he would drive at least 2 hours to get to his job site because he had to go pick everyone up. And I love how my dad was because of the fact is that he gave people a chance. He would get drug addicts, alcoholics, didn't matter. He taught them how to bank, get all your information, Social Security, get all that stuff lined up so you can actually start contributing to society. Teach him a trade. He framed houses. But, you know, they still had their problems. So when they didn't show up, when you go to pick them up for work on Saturdays, and he had to come back to the house and get one of us, and I'd be mad because they didn't do that. What you going out drinking for? Because we had to go to work. I'm trying to play. But my dad would get up, and sometimes they would pass by. Only time they see each other all week, passing by, one going to work, one coming home. My mom would work from 3, get there at 3, and work until 12, 1 o'clock at night, 2 o'clock in the morning sometimes, get only paid for 8, because she was salaried, standing all day. So those times when I would work with her, we go to Walmart. I enjoyed every moment of those times. She do shopping. We walk to Walmart, do our shopping. 2 o'clock in the morning. Just me and her. Faithful. Faithful to serve. Faithful to run the house. Faithful to do everything that we needed. Need a new shoes? Mom's got it. Mothers, thank you for the sacrifices you make because your kids don't even know the totality of it. There's not a number you can put on them. There's not. Thank you for all you do. And I hope you are appreciated on this day, not just on this day, but every day. Even if your children don't seem like they respect you, there's someone out there that do. I remember watching. I watched the show Blackish. I don't know if some of you heard about it and stuff, but anybody remember Marla Gibbs from 227? Way back in the day, or Flo from the Jeffersons. But there was this one particular part that just really kind of got me thinking. And she said something that pretty much shocked the table, but at the time, I understood what she meant. Don't know if it's a true story or not, but it was pretty good. She had said something as a wife. She goes, everyone was sitting at the table on whether or not a woman should be serving her man and stuff. And so that was the whole episode. You know, I'm a career woman and I shouldn't have to be serving my man. He can get his own plate. He can do this. He could do that. And so they're sitting around the table. I believe it's around Thanksgiving or Christmas. Blended families. And she just starts. She starts off saying, I didn't really care about the Holocaust. People are like, what? I didn't care about slavery either. She goes, all I cared about was making my man a plate. Because basically, when he went out there in the world, he wasn't treated like a man. And I wanted him to know that there was somebody in this world that loved him. So she didn't take to recollection of all the other stuff that was going on. It was what was going on in her home. Because he was talked down. He was spit on, whatever the case may be. She goes, all I cared about was just making my man a plate. And that spoke volumes to me. Even though it was just a show, I saw beyond that. We don't know what it's like for what women have to face every single day. And women, sometimes you don't know what your husband goes through. There's a lot of things I don't share with Kristen on stuff that's said to me, done to me, because I know what she would what she would do. And again, it's just water off my back. I'm just water off a duck's back. If I really wanted to do something right now, I'd probably be in Hayes jail right now. If I really wanted to. But get to the place where you can sit down and talk and communicate with your husband. And thank him. Husbands, get to that place where you can communicate with your wife and thank her for what she do. Anybody can point out the flaws. I can do that all day long. Well, no, that's boring. That doesn't build anyone up. I want to see the best in people. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Father God, we just thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for these mothers, these women who have braved the storm, who have helped calm the storm, in their children's life with the help of you, Lord. They don't do it alone. We're never alone. We're with you. And Father God, I just thank you for their marriages, for their lives, their health, and their strength, Lord, that they can continue on each day. And I thank you for the ones that are continually searching for answers in their own personal lives, Father God, that they see what you have given them. And they will not back down. Because as long as we're here on this earth, there will always be seed time and harvest. It's never too late to turn a situation around. We thank you for restoration in Jesus' name. Amen. How are we going to receive communion today? Are you recording this? Okay. That's fine. Some of this stuff is taken out of Brother Copeland's communion stuff. I really like what he does with it. Here's a little proclamation. It says, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we recognize that we have a covenant with you, a covenant that was ratified by the shed blood of Jesus at Calvary. Because of the fact that Jesus' body was broken for us, that his blood was shed in our behalf, we acknowledge that he bore sins, sickness, disease, sorrow, grief, fear, torment, unforgiveness, strife, and lack for us. Through a substitutionary sacrifice, we have complete redemption, total deliverance from the works of Satan. As new creations in Christ Jesus, we realize our freedom has been bought and paid for. We are forgiven, we are redeemed, and we give thanks for all in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.